Well, I would appreciate your prayers this morning. It's good to be here with my friends today. We do appreciate the efforts made here to do the singing and all. I'd like to I want to say this first, I guess. Sometimes the Lord gives a message and there's a thought in it that needs for the Lord to do it. I'm going to do the best I can with it. But I feel like that the message is not just for a moment. But I think the message is for a mindset that the Lord wants it to become the way we are, not just to say I can use this when something happens, but that the Lord wants it to become a part of who we are and the way we think about things. So anyway, I want to put on a board. I want to put something on the board, just maybe for an illustration. It might help. I put on the board 52,800,000 / $44. And I'd like to look at a scripture starting in Matthew, the 21st chapter, or I'm sorry, the 18th chapter, 21st verse. It says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Now, I'm not sure altogether about where he came up with that idea, but there's definitely an idea in there, and I'm not... perhaps that he was looking for a place that this is enough. I don't know. It doesn't say that, but he definitely put a limitations on it, didn't he? Because seven is a limitation. And so he was saying that how often do I have to do this, or I need to do this? And again, I don't want that. I don't think it's accurate. I don't think it's what the Lord wants for us to be thinking in that terms, to where can I find the limitations to this at? Where is the limitation that I can have here? Because we all know that somewhere in life, if you live long enough, that you're going to have things happen. And there's going to be a conflict with people. And more than likely, everybody in here is either going to have a perceived slight against them or a real one. It's almost impossible to go through life and somebody not say something at the wrong time in the wrong place to touch our emotions or to do something. It's almost impossible for us not to be hurt with something or something happened. Like I say, whether it's perceived or it's real or you just perceive or whatever, it's going to happen into the place where there's something you're going to say, somebody shouldn't have done that. And Lord knows I've been guilty enough of that in my lifetime to know that. But the Lord deals with this aspect, so I'm going to want to deal with it this morning. I think it's very valuable. It's a tenet of the Christian faith. It is one of the important things of Christianity, that we be forgiven and that we forgive. I think the passage of Scripture used to be a memory verse of mine. I'm not too good with memory, but it's in Ephesians 4, maybe 32. It says something like this: "But be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." That's really the basis of what I put on the board here today, and the idea of it was this: that be kind one another. A mindset, a heart set. Be kind to one another. Look at humanity.
in the way that we're all on a journey. We didn't ask to be here. We're here. Well, I didn't ask to be who I am. I am who I am. I didn't set the stage of where I live and who I am. That was all my parents was doing in Carroll Clemson. I didn't choose them. They didn't choose me either. I became a product. I mean, but this is, and life is like that. And the idea is to be kind. One that I didn't look at that we're all on a journey. And forgive one another in this and look at it as this is my fellow man on a journey, and my heart ought to be as Christ's heart was. That they're on a journey. They need help. They may have the faults and failures, and be tenderhearted and forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Jesus said and says, not I say not unto thee 7 times. You put a limitation on it. It was 7 times. But I say, no, it's not 7 times. Because you're finding a place to have said, I've tolerated you. I put up with you. I've done this. Is anybody here willing to say to the Lord, Lord, give me seven opportunities to not do anything wrong, and that'd be enough. So, well, you better get through life real quick. And I hope it explains this, because I'm not talking about a defeatist attitude or that God ain't got power, but I want it the right perspective. 7 times? I say not 7 times. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. And it's not, I've said this many times, but I don't think that Jesus was referring to the fact that it's possible to run 490 times and run out. It's meaning something in language. And the perfect number, the complete number, is 7 in the Scriptures. The Lord rests. I mean, you can find it plainly in the Scriptures. And I believe that what Jesus was saying when he said 70 times 7 was obviously that you forgive all the time and totally. It is, you can't hold a little bit of it back, but it is a total forgiveness all the time. This is what's required. How much should you forgive? Totally, all the time. And do you want to know one of the reasons why? It's because unforgiveness is a cancer to the soul. Unforgiveness in you is a cancer to the soul. It'll eventually make you act wrong. It'll eventually make you act unchristlike. It'll make you take revenge or vengeance on things. It'll make you do things that you don't want to do. And it's a cancer to the soul that will end up growing and growing. And so it's as much for the forgiver as it is the forgiven. He said 70 times 7, I think in one, this is in the idea of one day, maybe in others. But he says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus starts and tells, I want you to understand this. I want you to understand this from the viewer that I want you to set this in your heart, in your life. Not just that, okay, somebody done something wrong with me. How should I respond to that? This is the way you should think about this, because I've heard a lot about the forgiveness, and people will forgive, won't forgive, but this is the way he says it. He says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now, I took the liberty, because that's hard to understand, to use my margin. 52,800,000 in silver, okay? So we're going to use that number because I understand that number better than 10,000 talents. But I think it meant, what I think he was talking about isn't just a particular number that I'm going to use, but the idea is, in that time and time, he put a number. It would probably be more accurate for me to say today, $500 million trillion, over top, which basically means you don't have enough to pay it. And if you don't have enough to pay, it doesn't matter how much over it is. I recently had, we support a cause in Uganda, Sister Brenda, and I was recently talking with Sister Brenda, and she was buying some tomatoes or something, and I said, I want to see the market. So she showed me the market, and I saw some bananas there. And I said, oh, wow, there's nice-looking bananas. How much does bananas cost? And she said, they cost about 5,000 shillings. And I said, well, no, you must have made a mistake, because they can't cost 5,000 shillings. He said, oh, they cost 5,000 shillings. And I said, well, that means that you could get 7 bananas for a dollar, because it's about 3,600 shillings per dollar. And I said, well, that means you could buy 7 bananas. That's cheap. He said, no, that's expensive. I said, no, that's cheap. I mean, 7 bananas for a dollar is cheap, right? So he said, well, how much is that watermelon? Well, that watermelon's, you know, it was like, you know, 50,000 or something. And I said, well, that can't be right. That's $1.25. And said, no, that's what it is. Well, so that's cheap. No, that's expensive. I said, well, sounds cheap to me. Well, it sounds expensive to me. I said, well, that's cheap. And said, it's cheap if you got money. It's impossible if you don't. If you don't have a $1.25, it's more than you can do. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you do. And this is what he's talking about. This is more than you can do. You owe more than you can pay. This is what he tells them. There's a king there, and he comes in his servant. Oh, I don't know how he got to that position. It doesn't matter. Because he's using this as an example. He says, but for as much as he had not to pay. He didn't have enough to pay. We'll go on with the story and then we'll come back on it. So the Lord commanded him to be sold. And his wife and his children. And all that he had. And payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servants was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. He didn't say to him that you can pay it, or you ought to pay it, or I'm going to give you time to pay it. He forgave him of what he could never have done. Completely forgave him. What a wonderful idea. What a wonderful idea. And so this man that was forgiven all, I forgave him all his debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. My margin says $44. Can anybody, maybe I shouldn't ask it, maybe you wouldn't want to tell me, but I'm going to assume most everybody can't pay that first one. But I think we could pay that second one. I mean, I think I have $44. We could probably pay that. But here's the idea. Do you know what really comes under this? You think you're a pretty good fella? This is the way this works. I've been slighted. I've been upset about being slighted. I've been emotional about it and all of that. But it's not much of a debt. Folks, I didn't give anybody into your life. I didn't create you. I don't let you eat. I didn't make food for you. I don't make water for you. I don't give you the strength to get up in any mornings. I have nothing to do with it. To realize, do you know what it must feel like when we have a notion that it's a bad day? Do you really think the great creator that's given us a day is pleased when we think the day's bad? And as a father, I know sometimes you have a child that's not appreciative, and you've worked hard, or you've done something, you try to set something up, or maybe and somebody doesn't appreciate it like you think you do. You ain't done much anyway. They owe you a little bit, but they don't owe you much. But this whole idea is that
when I get to feel, I don't like who I am. Really. God made you. I don't like the way my life is going. Really? God put you in your life. What kind of a, you say, well, I don't owe anything. Yes, you do. You owe a lot. And it isn't a defeatist attitude. God can help us with everything. But do you know how many times that we're not appreciative of what God's done? And the great debt that we owe, I could have never have created myself. But God created, I owe my very creation to Him. I owe the very day to Him. I mean, if I get to breathe today, whose air am I breathing? Can you imagine the slight to the great God of heaven when you take His air and breathe it and get breath by it and form words with the breath that He gives you to diminish His glory? What? Isn't that something to think about? All of that. And so He says, your debt to Me is more than you can ever pay because I've done so much. How are you going to pay Me for any of the things that you owe Me? And so then He wanted us to have a mindset about forgiveness. What is anybody ever going to owe Me to compare with what I owe God? How, when I say to the Lord, Lord, forgive me for using your air to curse you with, how am I ever going to pay that debt? I can't pay it. I'm bankrupt spiritually to be able to pay a sin debt. I can't pay it. And yet, Jesus comes along and pays the debt. And then, if we're not careful, we'll hold the slights of humanity against us, or against them, and not be willing to forgive in that. And so He gives this illustration to His disciples, wanting to set a mindset in His disciples, because His disciples was going to be projected out into the world. They were going to be called sinners, Beelzebub. They're going to be whipped and beat, and they're going to be hated. They're going to be hated. They're going to be cursed. They're going to be, and done that. And He wanted to set a mindset in them to say, they can never owe you what you owe Me. You can never get that. We ought to always remember this thing. I can never have somebody be in debt to me like I'm in debt to him. And if that's the mindset that we have, it will alter the way we think about people. We will realize that they're a debtor too. And they need forgiveness too. And you know, there has been some remarkable, remarkable examples. Jesus being first that set the standard. He was holy and righteous, and He came with a heart full of love, and He came to bring peace and good life and healing and spiritual life to humanity. And He came and He was despised. He was hated. They shoved a thorn. I don't know. I recently saw this. I didn't know it. It's always depicted as this thing around it. But I seen a thing recently that said that actually that the thorn of crowns was not a ring around. It was like, it was made like a helmet. And it had thorns like this long. So when they put the crown on his head, it wasn't like on the top there, it was actually like a football helmet that they made. And when they got it, they took it and it stuck. It literally stuck. If you tried to pull it off, it would have had thorns that would have had to have ripped it as to get it off. It was that. And they did that to the one that loved them. He was loving them, wanting them to be eternally saved. He wanted to bring good new things into their life. And those that did that, they despised Him, and He loved them anyway. He loved them anyway. How are you going to pay such a debt as that?
Jesus paid it. And he done all this, and then he taught us the ultimate idea is Jesus hanging on the cross with them gnashing their teeth and hating him and all of, what did he do to deserve any of it? Love them? Love those that are around? Healed? Helped? Blessed? Made things better? He went to the land of the Gadarenes and cast out the spirits of legion. And when they got through, they come up to him and said that they begged him to leave. I said, what? You have a guy, you tried to put him in chains, you tried to fetter him, you tried to stop him, you tried all this man in your community, and you could do nothing with him, and along come Jesus, and this man is sitting in his right mind in clothes, and he's sitting at Jesus' feet, and everybody would say, stay, you need to stay, we need you, we'll make you mayor, we'll do something here. No, they come and said, leave, we can't afford our industry to be mayor. You mess with our hogs, you mess with our situation, and they wanted him to leave. But he looked from the cross and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. Pay the fifth. And forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And he made the payment for us. And then I think about the idea of forgiving the things that happen. You know, we can be pretty petty. I mean, we can be really petty. I mean, really, really petty. I'm not the greatest driver, but so I'll ask you guys in advance, if I pull out in front of you by mistake and you have to honk the horn and do all that, just forgive me, okay? Because I don't do it all perfect, and boy, I can get some road rage going sometime. Switch lanes too quick or something like that, and somebody comes by making gestures and fighting gestures and bad gestures and doing all that kind of stuff. And you know what we should do? It can be a panic moment, but you know what we should do? I remember a lady out in Joplin or Webb City, it pulled out in front of me, come across the lane. It was a bad move. And immediately she was like, and I was like, it's all right. You know why? Because I owe more than that. I owe more than that. So I gave her a friendly, it's okay. It's okay, because we all do something, and we've not been perfect, and so it's okay. Now, I could have done the gestures and all, I mean, and stomped up and down and stuff like that, but I don't want the Lord doing that to me. I don't want that attitude. And so there's an attitude with it. And thinking about some of the things that I've heard that go along with forgiveness, and Lord help us to meet the moment of our lives. And if you don't have this as the attitude of your life, you probably won't meet the moment. This needs to be the attitude that we have. I owe the Lord. I'm going to finish this because he forgave. I don't know what you think this means, but let's finish it. It says that he forgave that man, and then this man took his fellow servant, and he got him by the throat, and he demanded, I'm due respect. And if y'all don't respect me, if I ever disrespected my Creator, the price is way higher for disrespecting him, way higher. And I can say, you all need to treat me right. You all need to respect me. You, if you do, and if you don't, that's it. Well, this is the way it works. And it says, and he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Is that an analogy for what the Lord says when we hold on to an unforgiveness in our life? Is that the analogy? That I've cast somebody into prison? It says, so when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that, he called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that because thou desirest me? Shouldst not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him unto the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Is that as simple as it sounds, Brother Brandon? Because that sounds very simple. It seems like the Lord's willingness to forgive is so total of what we can't do. And yet he will reverse it. It sounds so much so. Is it like this? You're not going to get what you don't give. It sounds to me like salvation's kind of on the line here of this thing. Should I forgive? Do I need to wait till you ask if it's that volatile? No, because it's a cancer. It'll hurt my own soul. There's a thing in the news a while back. You guys probably heard about it. It was touching to me. I won't get into all the personalities of it or the accuracies of anything because, of course, I couldn't. I don't know. But there was a man named Charlie Kirk that got assassinated. It was such big news, probably most everybody heard about it. Well, the touching thing and the whole thing was when his wife spoke about it and she said of the young man, I forgive you. That was a devastating thing to happen in life. But the forgiveness, you say, even for something like that? Brother Marty, even for something like that? I mean, are we required it? It's $44, folks. It's as high as you can get on this spectrum. It's $44. That's all it is. You owe $52,800,000. You cannot pay the debt. And so the only way to deal with it at all and keep it from being a cancer to your own soul is to forgive. Forgive it. It doesn't mean you have to put yourself in the same thing. It means from your heart you have to forgive and want well for them. You want them. I'll say this, it was a hideous thing. But as from a Christian standpoint, what is the remedy? What's the remedy for sin? All sin. What's the remedy for it? What are we supposed to hope for and pray for and desire? What do we want? Do you want the joy of knowing that this guy was tortured? Let's pull his eyebrows out. Let's pull his toenails out. Let's some way get some kind of feeling about this. Or as a Christian, wouldn't the ultimate say, I'd like for him to find Jesus? I'd like for him to have the moment to where his soul's saved. Regardless of what they do with his body, wouldn't you want him to be saved? You may know the story about Dr. Dobson. You probably heard about him. Focus on the Family and all. Dr. Dobson actually went and before they executed one of the well-known serial murderers, he went to him in prison and shared the gospel with him. And Dobson's response back was that this man had a real conversion to Christ and was saved. How dare him save such a person? He was a serial killer. He deserved to go to hell, right? His debt to people was $44. We owe $52,800,000. Because we've slighted a holy God, because we've rejected his name, because we've done that to him. It's a high price, folks. And he doesn't ask us to pay. He knows we can't pay it. And he sent his son to pay it. And all he says is to forgive your $44. Forgive the $44. I said that was a great story of redemption, that a man that was so taken by the devil, he would say that he regretted what he'd done, but every once in a while this thing would come over him and he'd have to go do this, and it was nothing but the devil. And Jesus comes along and casts the strong man out. Thank God that there's that kind of a place. There was another story that I thought was so impressive to me. I was talking with my boss, his name was Marshall. We was talking about this situation to where this guy had been caught and tried, and he was found guilty of of abusing a little girl and killing her, and it was a hideous thing. And he was found guilty. And my boss says, I'll tell you one thing. I'd be glad to be the guy that pulls the lever on him. And I said to my boss, That's too bad. Because that's a cancer. The mother of the little girl had a right to face him. They let her, before they electrocuted him, had a right to. And so she got to say her words to him. And her words to him was, God loves you. And I love you and I pray for you that your soul will be saved. And it's like, where did that come from? It came from a heart. It came more than just a moment. It came from a heart to realize what I owe, what I've been forgiven of. She didn't let the cancer run her. She forgave. She could go on. I don't know what he did. It never said what he did. I doubt he done anything. It doesn't matter. She released him. Do you know what it would have been like for him to go on and never get to forgive him? No, she took her moment and said, I forgive him. I remember another story. It was very touching to me. It was a story about a woman in one of the Middle Eastern countries, a Muslim country, and she didn't wear her thing right. And so they punished her by doing that, by taking acid and throwing it. She was a very young woman. And they took acid and threw it in her face. And the acid etched her face and ruined her looks. And it was against the law. They were caught and brought to trial and found guilty. And the punishment was that she gets to throw acid in her face. She got to get acid and throw it in her face. She could look every day. She could look in the mirror and say, look what they done to me. Oh, would that be tempting? Oh, those thoughts that come in the middle of the night. You know what I'm saying? The idea of that, and the woman got her chance to pour acid in her face. And they gave her the acid. There they are. She sat it down. She was a Christian lady. She sat it down and said, I forgive you. You can run a Christian's face, but you're not supposed to run their heart. You're not supposed to be able to take something from them that they're supposed to have. And they're supposed to have forgiveness to all. Yes. And for no, and 70 times 7, I'm to have it. 70 times 7, I'm to have it. I'm supposed to have it all the time. Remember, if you're in that place, I'm going to say this. There was a story. I know a congregation had a woman at. And the woman would come to services regularly, camp meetings. We went to camp meetings for years and years and years, and she came to the camp meeting. She came and came and came and came to the camp meeting, and she never made a move for the Lord. And then finally, one night, in a service, she made her way to the altar and she went and prayed through. She got saved and she testified afterwards, I've held a grudge, somebody here, for 40 years. I wanted to be saved so many times, but I could not bring myself to forgive that person. I couldn't bring myself to do it. And 40 years, she finally got to the place to say, I've got to let this go. I have got to get rid of this. After 40 years, do you know that it's possible, folks, to take it to your grave with you? It's possible to have things and just says it's too much. $44 is too much. You slighted me too much. You slighted me $44. You owe me $44. And I can't forgive you it. I can't forgive you $44. But look what I owe the Lord. You know, the Lord wants to forgive each and every one of us. I'm thinking another story. There's a story in the scripture. I won't turn to it, but I'll relate some of it. There was a story in the scripture about a young man that had special, he had a special blessing on him from the Lord. He could interpret dreams. He interpreted dreams. The Lord was definitely with him, and the Lord was dealing with his wife. It sounded like he was kind of in a dysfunctional family, and he had a lot of brothers, and so the young man interprets a few dreams and things. He didn't do it. He didn't make nothing happen. He just told what the dreams meant. Hey, it was these dreams, and his brothers was jealous. And of course, his dad probably didn't handle things the way I think he'd handled. He made this young man a coat. He didn't sound like he made the other ones a coat. I don't know. There was some things going on in the family. Wasn't really his fault. But anyway, his brothers kind of looked adversely at their brother and said, "We're going to get rid of this guy. We've had enough of this guy." They definitely had bad intentions. As a matter of fact, some of them wanted to just go ahead and kill him, but they decided not to kill him, that they'd just sell him. And so they took his coat and got goat's blood on it and took it back to dad, said wild animals, beasts got him or whatever, and they threw him in a well. And then after a while, somebody at caravan comes by going to Egypt, and they sell him into that. And all of a sudden, this free Roman young man out there in the country that was enjoying life, and the Lord's with him and all that, all of a sudden he's in a subject to people that's not like him, and all of a sudden his life's growing worse and worse, and he gets put down there, and the Lord favored him. He was smart, he was good looking, the Lord favored him, and he went to the house of Potiphar, and Potiphar's wife had bad intentions, and here we go again, and bad things, and there's Potiphar's wife, and Potiphar's wife ought to have been horsewhipped and all that, and Joseph got into place he could have probably had it done, and all these things, and Joseph lived this whole life, if you remember, that after that he got thrown into prison. Now he's in prison. He was a slave. Now he's in prison, and all these things are happening to him. And sure, there's enough bad things to have a lifelong grudge and unforgiveness. But he didn't do it. He looked at it like God's doing something. Do you know that God can allow somebody into your life to run you down? You say, "Well, why would he do that?" Well, if I have to explain it to you, sometimes there are some real searching moments. And sometimes somebody that we kind of teach for us as saints, we kind of teach that you should salt your words, make them flavorable, make them eatable. But the Lord don't allow everybody in your life to salt them, I'll tell you that. And sometimes just a raw, bare truth might come to you from a guy that don't like you. But the idea is that you don't just dismiss everything. You say, "Lord, is there any truth in that? Is there anything in it? Lord, how did you respond to it? How you know how you respond if you don't have a test to it? The Lord will test you. He'll allow things come in your life to test you and see what you're about." Joseph was tested to the max, and what he ended up saying is, "You meant it for bad." Well, here he comes, his brothers. What a glorious day now. Here's the guys that put me through years of suffering, and here's my brother. And now they're going to get it because I'm in a place that they're going to get it good. And he could have had that in it. Definitely had the power to do it. But his debt was too much. He owed the Lord a lot more than they owed him. And so he doesn't do it at all. He completely forgives his brothers. And he said, "You're my brothers. You're my brother. You meant it for bad, but God meant it for good. God used all of this for good." And in our lives, a lot of times, if we're really interested in serving the Lord and going on in the Lord, the truth about it is that sometimes these moments that we want to dismiss or that we fail the test, when they're there to me, a stepping stone. make me better. Lord, help me to be better in this. And my debt's too much for me to hold on to those kind of things. Lord, I don't want them to be, well, I don't want them to be harmed or hurt. I have a guy that's still in the community up there, and I've told the story a year before, that had a gun to my head, and his knuckles was white from pulling the trigger, and he wanted to kill me, and he ends up hitting me in the head with the rifle, and he does all of those things. And don't you, I'm not going to stand up here bigger than I was. Don't you think there wasn't nights that I had vengeance on my mind? There was times that it come in, the wrestling of my mind, well, I should have done this, or should have done that, or all that, and I had to wrestle that, but my debt was too much. My debt was too much. I had to get victory over that. And to this day, my desire is that he get saved. I would love to be a part of him getting saved. That's my desire. My vengeance on him is that the Lord defeat the devil in him. That's my vengeance on him. Lord, help him. Help him. Do you know that there is only salvation is what changes, keeps a person from being a saint? Being somebody that would love and do good, it's only salvation. It was salvation for them, it's salvation for us. And the scripture is definitely teaching us to be a forgiving heart and to forgive the things that people do in life. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't, there's other scriptures that back this up. I'm just going to say them, but there are scriptures like don't let the sun go down on your wrath type things. I've seen relationships that didn't take care of things as they went. They didn't bring forgiveness. And it got deeper and harder and longer and longer and harder. And after years of building this up, it can become a major, major thing. It can be so hard to deal with those things after a while. Don't let it happen. Consider the $44 versus the $52,800,000. There's another scripture that talks about being cast into prison or the dungeon until you can pay the last farthing. That's only 2 cents. When you pay your last 2 cents, you can get out. You don't have 2 cents. And you have no way to get it. You can't. You have no way to get 2 cents, and you don't have 2 cents. And so it looks like that I'm close, but I can never get out. A few years ago, we had the privilege. I was glad we got to do it, but the congregation at home we got some folks out of the brickyards in Pakistan. I always wanted to be able to help people like that, and we got the opportunity to help some people that was in the brickyards. Well, it's a very interesting idea. They went into debt. And it's a Muslim country, and I don't mean to be critical about anything, but this is the way it works. Christians in Pakistan are second rate, maybe third or fourth rate. They're way down. That's the way society does it. And so there is laws, national laws, but the lenders are Muslim lenders, and they'll lend to Christian in tough situations, and they have to pay it back. And when they can't pay it back, they go to the law, and the remedy for it is that they have to work it off. They are actually enslaved to the brickyards, so they have to go into the brickyards. And the whole family has to go. It's not just the dad, or they go. And sometimes we little girls and stuff out there putting mud in the brick molds, and they're out there working in the hot sun. And this is what they do. They have to pay for their own food and rent. They have to pay for all that, and that costs so much money. And they have to make bricks at a certain, like 3 cents a piece or whatever. And the rent and food is higher than the amount of bricks they can make in a day. So they put them in this situation. And it's also the debt is acquired by the next generation. So if a dad's in debt and he dies, then his children inherit the debt. And so there's a perpetual labor in the brickyards of people that can't get out.
because they don't have no money to get out, and they can't work it out because they can't make enough money to pay everything and get out of it. And it's a horrible. There's been a lot of groups and stuff that tried to stop the practice because of it's inhumane and all this stuff, and they try to stop the practice. But it was such a touching thing because they're in debt and can't get out. We can get out of our debt, folks. We owe a debt that's unpayable, and yet we can get out of it. Because he looked at him, the scripture said that he looked at him and had compassion on him, and he was moved. And he said then, not that you work it off at a rate. He said, you're forgiven, you're free. We are forgiven and free about out of our brickyard. We don't have to labor in it. We can be free. And all he says is, don't do that to your fellow. As I have forgiven you, forgive your fellow. Forgive all those that trespass against you. If you live very long, I'm going to tell you right now, it isn't fun. It doesn't feel good. None of these things are true. But when we come to the reality of it, what we should have is that, Lord, you forgave me. Let me always be forgiving. Let me forgive the things that are around me, realizing that we're all on this journey, and let me do the best I can on everybody that's on this journey too, to help them get through this, to get through this life and be forgiven. And this is the image that the Christianity ought to give. You remember Stephen being stoned to death? You remember what he said? Why did he? I mean, he gave it to him pretty good. I'll tell you, he gave it to him pretty good. And they're stoning him to death, and he asked God not to lay this. I don't know if you have a right to do it. I don't know whether what God would do with that. But what he was saying is that if this is the only thing that will keep them out, when it comes down and this is the only thing that you have to judge them by, forgive them. I forgive them, Lord. Don't let this lay to the charge. What a heart he had. And I'll tell you, in closing, I had a situation one time. Many of you have heard this, and we'll tell it anyway. But I had a car one time that I went to sell. It wasn't much of a car. And so I thought, well, it's worth $400. So I went to sell the car for $400. Well, a local guy came by and said, yeah, he wanted the car. And I said, well, it was $400. And he said, well, I don't have $400. I'll give you $225. And then I'll pay the $175 on Friday when I get paid. So I don't know. Well, okay. You pay me Friday. So we made the transaction, and he takes off. And, of course, Friday came and Friday went, and there was no money. And it was $175. And I was like, man, I need that $175. So after a while, a few weeks, I go in one early morning, and I'm at the Go-Mart and getting gas, and I walk in, and I'm ready to pay. And right in front of me is this guy that got my car. I thought, oh, this is going to be really good right here. And so anyway, he turns around, and he kind of right in my face. I'm going to pay you payday. He said, first thing he said, I'm going to pay you. Well, he looked at the floor first. He looked down at the floor. Like, what's down there? You know, you look down at the floor. I'll pay you Friday. And I said, good idea. Okay, you're Friday. Can I tell you something? I had $175. And back in, I didn't hardly have two quarters rubbed together at any time. So $175 is like, come on now. Okay. It came and went. I didn't have a very good attitude. I didn't give up the Lord, but I just didn't have a good attitude about it. He needs to pay me. And I was becoming indignant about it. A deal's a deal. Well, it happened again. Same thing. Come in, and there he was. Turn around and said, I'm going to pay you Friday. Okay, you know, you said that before. Okay. This, I knew it wasn't no different. I was starting to get a little worked up about it. It's $175. And I said finally, man, I got to pray about this. Something's got to give here. And I went and started praying about it.
And I got the most amazing answer from the Lord. No, he didn't say get a lawyer. No, he didn't say let the air out of his tires or, you know, don't jump on him. No, the Lord told me, you want victory. Forgive him. What? What? It's $175. Forgive him. And the Lord brought some of the scriptures to me and said, forgive him. Do you know how I felt? For the third time, I was the next guy behind him in the line. And he turned around and did the same thing again, and I put my hand on his shoulder and said, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. Don't worry about it. It's done. You know what I felt like when I went out of there? That was the best $175. I never had to worry about that again. The Lord said, I got a cattle on 1,000 hills. Don't lose your soul over $175. You will get forgiven more than that. It's cheap. It's cheap. I would like to say, just say this to the Lord. I've been full-time in the work of the Lord since 95. That's over 30 years. And the Lord has blessed me so much. Over $175. Folks, it's not worth what you think it is. That was so... I went out of there with such the glory of God on me because I had forgiven him from my heart. I don't have this feeling about the $175 anymore. I gave it to the Lord. Be ye kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.